On episode 137, I am delighted to be joined by Fermanagh senior footballer and online coach Darragh McGurn. On this episode, we discuss perceptions as an intercounty footballer, switching his career from engineering to personal training, building an online business, creating a social media page which has accumulated over 70,000 followers between Instagram and TikTok, and so much more. I thoroughly enjoyed chatting with Darragh, so I hope you enjoyed the episode. Okay, hi Darragh. Thanks a million for joining me on the podcast.
Hello, thank you for having me on. It's good to be asked.
Before we get into everything, I have a very different audience, different backgrounds, a sport, basketball, Gaelic, soccer, couple of different countries as well. Would you be able to give a bit of an elevator pitch to the listeners who might not know who you are?
Yeah, so I am Darragh McGurn from County Fermanagh. I work as an online strength and conditioning coach. Previously, I would have studied engineering in college, did 4 years of that, and decided probably around COVID time that it wasn't something that I kind of wanted to do long term. So I started up an Instagram page, kind of just as a something to see how it went, not really as like a something that I kind of wanted to pursue as a business later on down the line. And then kind of just took off and it was going really well. So ended up starting up the online coaching then in my last year of university and have been doing that since. So yeah, still at it, still working away and playing football for both my club and my county as well.
Okay, very good. For you growing up, Darragh, we're going to get into all the college side of things and the online coaching. I really like going into that with guests. But for you growing up, when did you kind of realise you had a bit of talent on the football pitch, and when did you start to kind of progress through to county teams?
To be honest, I always kind of had a serious interest in Gaelic football and hurling as well, which is probably surprising for people to hear when you're coming from Fermanagh. It's something that people wouldn't expect, but always had a keen interest in that side of things from probably five or six, and probably realised I had a proper talent for it, not until I was probably later on down the line, probably 15, 16, because between the ages of probably 10 and 14, I wouldn't have been in great shape. Like, I know I was only a child, but I wouldn't have been one of the best players on teams. I would have always been decent, but it was only really when I kind of sprouted up and took an interest in improving myself off the pitch when I kind of started to excel and in college teams with the Macquarie Cup and then into county minors, and then I kind of just went from there.
Okay. When you're talking about your progressing off the pitch, what was the spark for that and what kind of went into that there?
Probably just, it was more so just not being good enough that I kind of thought I wanted to do something that would potentially put me ahead of other people. So S&C I knew would have been something that, you know, getting stronger and maybe faster than other players at your age at 15, 16 was always going to give me a bit of an edge. So that was kind of what sparked it, just not probably making teams, always ending up on the bench when it came to the higher levels of football, at maybe college football at 14, 15. So I was probably one of the first to really get into a gym around my age at 15, put on quite a bit of size and would have worked a right bit on power and speed as well at that age. And then I ended up excelling on the pitch and being ahead of everyone from probably the ages of 16 up to 18.
Okay. And who was the one to guide you through the gym? You hear stories about people doing the wrong thing or it impacting their development. Who brought you into the gym and who kind of guided you through that path there?
To be honest, it was myself, and it was probably me and one or two other friends just literally searching the internet and searching social media platforms, learning off different online coaches. And there wasn't many about at that time, to be honest. There was maybe one or two floating around social media. So I would have been just picking up what I could and trying to apply it in the gym. And then in terms of just building muscle, I kind of, from doing enough reading, I kind of just always had a bit of a knack for knowing, you know, what was needed to build muscle. The more I went into the gym, the more I knew what I should and shouldn't have been doing. There would have been certain coaches within that small gym that would have guided me along the way as well. But in terms of working 1-to-1, I wouldn't really have done any of that. It would have been kind of my own just research and knowledge building as the years went on. And then obviously when I got into County Minor, there would have been S&C coaches involved there that would have helped me a lot too.
Mm. Do you look back now with what you know and kind of cover your eyes at what you were doing, or cringe, or have you evolved much since then?
I have 100%. I do. I actually think about it regularly, thinking about it, just what I would have been at in that gym. Explosive everything would have been what I was trying to do, putting bands around the knees, trying to run upstairs. There was quite a bit of stupid stuff, but again, I was doing something where other people were doing nothing, so I was still getting quite a bit of benefit. You know, I wasn't going in and doing powerlifting or extreme training either. Like, it wouldn't have been anything that could have hurt me. But I definitely got benefit from it and learned as I went, and learned from my mistakes, which I probably made quite a few of at that age as well, which is natural enough.
Yeah. When you're progressing through to the minor ranks and kind of moving through school, what were your interests in terms of pursuing things after school? I've heard you speak about this before, and it's something I love discussing, as I have a young audience with plenty of teenagers going mm-hmm. through. And being honest with you, Dara, I really struggled in school when it was put to me about what you want to do. I hadn't a clue, and I still mm-hmm. don't. So how did you kind of figure it out and go through that path from school to college?
To be honest, like, I always was very good at maths from a young age, from primary school right up. It would have been always one of the best in the class in that subject. So I always knew, well, I was always told from outside voices, you're mathematically strong, you have to go down that route. So didn't put much thought into it. Would have kind of thought vaguely about things like being an accountant, being maybe going into actuary or engineer, and I knew it was going to be something like that. But it was literally, I'd say it could have been a couple of weeks before I had to choose that in sixth and seventh year that I did decide that. So there was so little thought put into it, it wasn't even funny. And it was only when I was kind of 15, 16 that I kind of started to excel physically. So it was nearly too late to be like, to pull that back and start say, right, I'm going to do PE now, I'm going to do biology. Do you know, I had already kind of went too far. And I was doing really, well getting A stars in that subject. So you do feel a bit of pressure at that age to conform to what is normal and what should be done. And that's something I try and tell younger people now as well, is don't just listen to what other people are telling you. Don't just do, I know you probably do have to stick to something you're relatively good at. Of course you do, or you mightn't make it very far, but there's probably a few things you're good at more than just one. And it's about kind of figuring out the mix between what you're good at and what you're actually passionate about, because it's putting those together and getting a career out of that that's gonna work for the long term.
Mm, that's a good point. And it's all about not listening to other people's ideas. Like, I always think about, I think medicine is a great example. Are you doing medicine because it's 6-to-5, or are you doing medicine because you want to be a doctor? Like, there's a difference between, and there's a difference between being in medical school and being a doctor. Like, that's just an example. How did you find it then in terms of going to college? I know you did, you were 6 months in and you kind of realized, maybe I'm not as passionate about this.
Probably less. probably a couple of weeks, if I'm being totally honest. But again, ego comes into it and it's like, this is what I should be doing. I actually, like, I was nearly a complete breakdown at times, like, throughout that first year. I'm not going to lie. Like, I was really struggling to come to terms with the fact that I had made this decision and I was going to actually go down this route, because comparing myself to everyone else who was in that class and was in that field, it was like, I was just different. Like, I didn't have the same, anything I was doing and any grades I was getting in the exams I was doing was like just purely forcing myself to go and do it, or it was taking something from other people in my class. So yeah, it was early doors, and it just kind of escalated. You did 1 year and then it was like, you know, I can't really stop now. I've wasted a year. I can't just restart. And then it was just ended up doing the whole 4 years.
Did you do a master's as well there?
Yeah, the master's was actually in it before.
Okay.
I chose the master's, if you know what I mean. If an engineer and you choose bachelor or master's early doors. And then ego as well, just like, oh, I'll just finish it and get the master's. And it'll look really good. But I kind of, you know, you're holding out that bit of, like, belief in the back of your head that, you know, it would still be really good to be an aerospace engineer and have a really good salary, a really good job, and tell everyone. But in reality, like, it was probably never going to go that way.
When did you finally kind of, you obviously finished it. When did you kind of finally kind of put your foot down, even with yourself, to kind of say, right, that's it, I'm kind of going to move away from that now?
It was like, because I started the page in at the end of third year. I still had a full year. This was during COVID. Like, COVID was end of third year. Started the page around that time when we had nothing to do, and it was just, everyone was just training and living at home. So it was probably at the start of fourth year. It was like, right, I'm fairly sure I had started coaching people online at that stage. I was like, I'll just get this out of the way, get it finished. And that was a tough year. That was hard because I had nearly already made the decision that I wasn't going to pursue it. So I was dragging myself to classes and dragging myself into the library to do work. Like, it was a bit grim.
Yeah. You had already kind of said, I'm not doing it. And then you still had another year. That was probably,
yeah.
Yeah. How did you find it in terms of setting up a page? It's funny. We probably have a very similar timeline in terms of what I'm doing. Started a little bit earlier, but COVID allowed me to continue it, and I'm still going now. But how did you find it in terms of setting it up, in terms of kind of telling other people and being okay with yourself doing it? It's something I really struggled with, and I still struggle with now. And somebody actually brought it up in kind of a social setting of what I do, and I didn't realize they knew, and I was like, oh god. But that's just me, and I wouldn't be as comfortable with it. But how did you find it at the start, and how have you got to it now?
I remember at the very start, like, it might have been a night out. I had this idea in my head anyway, and I kind of always would have been the one in the group who was mad interested in S&C. So when I kind of mentioned it to people that I was going to potentially start it, everyone was saying, yeah, 100% do it. And then I think just a few weeks later, I was like, right, I'll make the page and I'll leave it there until I'm ready to start. And sure, all my contacts got a notification that I had made a page, and all these followers started coming in, and I was like, ah, shit. So I just started it then the week after. I just put a post up, and that was it. It just went from there, just consistently stuck at it.
Okay. And have you ever dealt with someone kind of, you know, you get a bit of slagging every now and then, people have started to slag me about it, which I'm okay with now, but how do you find that side of things? But I suppose we're kind of a generation as well. As I'm asking that question, I'm realizing that a lot of people actually have their own side hustle or page that they kind of do themselves, whether it's fitness, or for girls could be nails or lashes or something, or plenty of other things that I haven't said there.
I think when we first started our page, it was probably relatively new, that side of things, so you would have got comments. To be honest, it was actually a fairly positive response, like, especially if people around you like, your expectation of what is going to be said about you is so far removed from what it actually is, really. Even when it comes to the football side of things, I wouldn't get much at all in terms of stick. I think people kind of respect what you're doing as well, really. You know, at the end of the day, you're doing it for a reason. Like, for me personally, it's for my business that I do social media. I don't do social media because I want everyone to see me. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'd easily drop it at the, you know, I'd drop it no bother tomorrow if I had to, and the business was still guaranteed to succeed. But in terms of response, like, in terms of what people were saying, I didn't get a bit of slagging here and there in the change rooms. I still get that all the time, but, you know, it's a bit of crack too.
When you said before about you weren't necessarily setting it up to become a business, then was, I get the sense from when you were talking about yourself as a, when you're about a teenager getting into the gym, was the original motivation to kind of share content for another young person like yourself that wanted to improve but didn't really know how to go about it?
Yeah, probably contradict myself a bit there, but to be honest, my values and stuff at that age were actually different than what they are now. Like, my motives back then probably would have been, I'll go and I'll show everyone what I'm doing, and for different reasons. And then you kind of realize as you go that social media can actually take away from your life a wee bit, and it can be nice to not have it for a period of time. But yeah, for then it was probably just an idea where I'll show people what I'm doing. I don't think it was ever in my head anyway to get a business off the back of it, because I was still obviously doing the engineering. But I suppose that's kind of become more common now in the last probably 2 years, as to how much of an impact social media does have on the business side of things, and the amount of people that you can reach every day, like if you really put the work in, is crazy, like the opportunity out there.
Absolutely. What was your parents' reaction? And I laugh when you mentioned the word page, trying to explain to my mom what a page was. It took a while. Thankfully, she now gets it. She's listening. Hopefully you're listening now. But what was their reaction like and their understanding of it all?
Yeah, it didn't go down very well. It's not that it didn't go down very well. The fact that I might have been changing career didn't go down very well, to be honest. You know, mom, dad would have always thought, you know, they would probably would have been the ones saying to me that you need to pursue a career in accountancy, engineering. And, you know, that's, I don't blame them for that, because they probably didn't understand the opportunity that was out there. Probably I myself mightn't have even fully understood what sort of an opportunity was out there. But yeah, it took a while to probably convince them, probably after a year or two, when actually a lot of people, in terms of my mom and our father's friends, they would have been coming to them saying, oh, I'm watching them every day on socials and it's really good or whatever. So they would have been getting feedback from outside of me, myself, with positivity, like, and that probably made them realize that it was actually, you know, a useful thing.
Mm-hmm. Is that the way you frame it now in terms of being for your business? Has that stopped any comments being made from a footballing sense? I'm not looking to get into, you know, behind the scenes of anything, but I guess a traditional mindset would have been with intercounty players and management, you don't talk to the media. You know, now it's different with podcasts and people are doing their own thing, but has that ever been an issue at any level that you've played at? Has there ever been a comment, or is that something you're really conscious of?
Not really, to be honest. I think that's also a bit of a misconception at times, that people think that intercounty players shouldn't or aren't allowed to do these sort of things. And maybe the fact that it is for my business, it probably changes that. Like, I don't think anyone can really question it when it's something that you're doing for a living. It probably may venture out of that when you start to put silly things up online that has absolutely nothing to do with a business. But I try and kind of stay out of that too. So no real comments of having to pull things back or do things differently or anything, because a lot of the time it's probably clear online that I am, you know, I'm trying to help people as well, you know, as much as I can with any post that I'm putting up or any story that I'm putting up. It's not really about just, oh, look at me, look what I'm doing, really.
Yeah, there's a large number of intercounty players now setting up different pages, particularly around fitness content and becoming personal trainers. I've had Sam Mulroy on, he has his own gym, people like that. Is that the new wave we're going to see, you know, the traditional teacher path for players? Is this a new wave, and do you ever kind of interact with the other athletes of any code or gender?
I think it is. I think it's a trend we're going to see over the next 10, 20 years is athletes putting themselves in jobs or careers that aren't probably physically demanding. So whether that is, I'd say I'd be pretty confident that the online coaching side of things will probably see a few more intercounty GA players getting into it in the next 10 years. In terms of like the way GA is going at the minute, it's just going so professional, especially in the top two divisions anyway. You know, it's nearly at a stage now where if you are working a job that's quite physically demanding, you're going to really struggle. You're going to struggle to recover between sessions. You're going to struggle to play at the highest level. So I think it's probably already been seen. You probably hit the nail on the head there with the teacher side of things. Like you see that very, very common these days is players going into that teacher role, because it gives you that summer off when, you know, championship season is probably at its peak. So, yeah, I think even when you look around the squad these days compared to maybe 5-6 years ago, it's probably already kind of went that way. Players who probably have extremely tough jobs and lots of traveling and stuff probably aren't committing as much as they were before.
Mm-hmm. You obviously went traveling yourself this year. I know you've had a bit of an injury as well, but how do you balance something that was your childhood dream of playing county to a new dream of traveling? And we're at the age where, geez, half the people our age are probably in Australia and doing all these different things. How do you balance doing what you've worked for since a kid with these new dreams and new passions?
Yeah, I suppose it probably fell out of my hands this year in the fact that I was injured. It was like an unbelievable opportunity to actually go and explore and travel without the guilt or without the fear of missing out, because if I was at home, I wouldn't have been fit to play anyway. But it did open my eyes massively to what is actually out there, and how devoting your whole life to Gaelic football probably isn't realistic and probably doesn't make sense. You can do a bit of both. I'm actually going to Bali now again on Monday.
Oh, very
So
good.
yeah, I'm going for 4 weeks. So that's going to be something like I'll be coming back and probably straight into Intercounty then. I'm still not fully back from the injury though. So it kind of made sense for me to take this opportunity again and get away and train and work over there. And then be able to come back at the end of November when Intercounty season's probably just starting to kick off. So there's still opportunities, and it's I think a lot of people probably give out a lot about it, and certain players probably don't get any break, and that's probably fair. There probably isn't much opportunity, but I still think there is times in the year when you can get away if you plan your time right as well. I think we're starting to see it a bit more common now as well, players taking that year or two out to go to Australia and get away or go to America for the summer. I think it's definitely getting that wee bit more common now.
Is that in terms of going away? Is that another solo trip? I think you went to Cambodia by yourself as well, was it?
I was in Vietnam by
Or
myself.
Vietnam.
Yeah. I'm going with a friend this time for 2 or 3 of the weeks, and then I'll be on my own for I think the final week. So yeah, I have someone with me this time, but it was enjoyable being on my own, but I think having someone there as well will probably be nice too. Because it does get a bit at times it does get a bit probably lonely on your own out there.
Yeah, I did a solo trip to the States, and I done one to the UK as well. And how did you find out much about yourself? I found it was kind of, maybe not at the time, but kind of looking back, I've kind of realized a good bit about myself. Was the kind of that self discovery, did you find that at all solo traveling?
Yeah, so well, I didn't. You see, when I went, I spent the first three days on my own, and then I ended up going and doing that Hajiang Loop motorbike tour, and I was in with a group. So what ended up happening was I met a guy in there from England, and I ended up traveling with him for the rest of the trip that I was over there. So I was only really on my own for a couple of days, and then maybe another 4 or 5 days in between that when we kind of ventured our separate ways for a couple of days. But I found it unreal. I probably didn't go long enough on my own, as in if you went for 2, 3, 4 weeks completely on your own, I'd say you'd find out a lot about yourself. But I was fairly happy, being in my own space for 3 or 4 days at a time, making your own decisions about what you want to do or where you want to eat, and doing my own work in a coffee shop. I kind of enjoy that, just chilling out on my own, to be honest. Especially when it's a complete other side of the world and you're just completely detached from everyone. I think there's something really powerful in it, and something that I think a lot of people should probably explore. It puts you out of your comfort zone, especially when you are then thrown into groups of people from all over the world. You're having to make conversations, you're having to deal with a lot of different personalities that you wouldn't come across at home. So you're kind of having to change up how you're approaching people, and you learn a lot more about different things like your communication and how to deal with certain people as well.
Does it make you realise that when you're committing to county football? And I've gone through a bit of a mind shift in terms of saying yes to things. And it's like, when I say yes to something, I now look at it as a, well, if I say yes to this thing, I'm saying no to about three other things. Do you realise that while I'm committing to intercounty football, I'm kind of missing out on a traditional, I'm putting that in air quotes for the benefit of the listeners, experience, whether it was through college, say, when you're playing county, or kind of during the year when you can't do the things that I would do over the weekend or your friends?
I think as a college student, it's a bit tougher. I don't think you miss out on as much as people think you do. I think having the mix of both is actually a really good thing. It keeps you on your toes. It keeps you from going on the piss 3 nights a week in uni for the whole 32 weeks of the year, or more. So when I was in uni and I was playing county football, I enjoyed it because you had that September, October, November time to kind of enjoy yourself and let loose. And then it was kind of all go, and it was a lot of training, a lot of focus for probably 4 or 5 months then, which kind of kind of tied in well with work as well at uni, and trying to be on the ball with deadlines and exams and stuff. It meant that you weren't going out all the time. You were maybe going out maybe once a week. But yeah, like I find then once I left uni, it wasn't, you're not really missing out on much. You might miss out on one stag or, you know, one or two nights out, but I think it's pretty overstated what you miss out on. And it's probably worth it, to be honest.
Okay, that's brilliant. It's a really good answer. I remember interviewing Luke Keeney very early on, I think it's episode 37 or something, and former Donegal footballer, and I asked him, when you're in the intercounty bubble, and kind of when you come out of it, do you realise, you know, how much of a commitment it is? And the question I'm trying to ask without coming across in the wrong way is it an obsession when you're trying to be the best athlete you can be?
It is. It is. 100% is. That's the way I kind of find it anyway. Once I'm in that bubble and I'm at a high level, nearly every decision I make on a daily basis is geared towards that. And that's probably been a fault of mine as well. It's probably not the best thing to be like all of the time. I think a skill that I've probably tried to develop and learn over the last year after picking up injury is trying to learn how to dial things back down as well. Because when you get caught up in that loop of just being obsessed all the time and it's all your thoughts and you end up overthinking a lot of things to do with your performance, then it actually puts a bit more stress in the body than is necessary. So that there, having that obsession is good because it's going to lead you to, you know, improve in all aspects of your game, and you're going to have that purpose and that passion, which is important. But learning then when to come down, letting your body recover, and actually adapt from what the training or whatever you're doing, is a really good thing as well when you're playing at that level.
Is there anything you like to do to kind of that you've learned in the last year that helps you switch off from that, or do you still struggle maybe after a bad result or even a good performance? I always find I'm terrible. I get too high with the highs and too low with the lows. Do you experience that?
I do. I definitely experience that. I think that's something that's really difficult to deal with. Getting out of the house, I think, is a good one. Just going for a walk. Social media is a huge one. The only real way that I switch off is if I, you know, get rid of the social media for an evening or a day or something like that, because it's far too easy to just, when you're in that zone of you're depressed, you're disappointed after a loss, even if it's, you know, it might even be a big game that you're after losing, but you beat yourself up about your own individual performances. And the first thing you do is you pick up your phone and you just scroll on Instagram and TikTok for maybe 2 hours. And for me, then I'll go and I'll eat something. And so I'll eat about everything that's in the house. So probably social media is the thing that I try and get rid of. I try and get out of the house and get into nature, go for a walk, and then socializing with friends as well allows you to switch off. Trying not to talk about football, and the sauna too is a big one I use as well, I find, because you simply can't have your phone when you're in the sauna. You could be in there and you're in silence for 20-30 minutes, or you're in there and you're talking to someone who you've never spoke to in your life. So I find that useful as well.
Do you find your identity has shifted from being it, what you were saying before, and kind of that year span, or maybe it hasn't, that your identity has shifted from being an athlete? And I noticed in your intro you mentioned about being a coach before you mentioned you played for Fermanagh. Has that evolved? Was that always the case, or would you have always kind of identified yourself as a footballer before anything else?
I definitely would have always identified myself as a footballer probably from 16, 17 up probably to 21, 22, but I kind of, you realise that football isn't the most important thing in the world, really. So I've tried anyway, remove that slightly, that, you know, that whole identity of just being a county footballer. And that's kind of why I've enjoyed getting out and getting traveling done and putting up things on my page that aren't maybe to do with football all the time, or aren't to do with coaching all the time. Because I find I don't really like the thought of just being a county footballer, because again, you're gonna come a day where that has to go. And even with the coaching, you know, it mightn't be something that I do for my whole life. So kind of exploring other avenues is something I like to do.
When you're looking at content and learning from other people, I've noticed you've interacted with a few bits I've had up. Where do you find the most useful resources? Is it on the likes of Instagram, Twitter, is there websites, particular creators or athletes you follow that you like to learn from about not just sporting things, could be something else?
Yeah, I do like Instagram. I actually like to do the new app Threads. It's
Okay, right.
a bit like Twitter, but it's actually just pure nearly knowledge. Everything you're ever it's nearly too much at times, but everything that's put up on it is something that you're learning from. It's very good. And then Instagram, I try and only follow pages that gonna learn valuable information, whether it's to do with strength and conditioning or to do with health or nutrition. I try and keep it to that, and that's probably where I struggle with social media the most, because I wouldn't be big on scrolling on just your general person's page or on the feed. I'd be more on trying to get onto pages and learn, so that's probably where I spend most of my time on social media is on those pages and trying to pick up bits and pieces, and then different mentorships as well. I've done in the past. I know I did social media mentorship with Sean Casey. I don't know if you know him. I'm currently on Alan Murdoch's mentorship, the speed and rehabilitation. So it's huge. It's something that I'm going to be really learning from now over the next few weeks and months. And I've also done the Speedworks mentorship that they had out maybe 2 years ago. So different things like that, different coaches I'm always trying to work with. And then obviously on social media, there's an abundance of information. It's just kind of probably trying to decipher and stick to the stuff that you're trying to learn instead of just scrolling and spending hours on TikTok.
When you're talking about that, I find it interesting. It kind of parallels through everything you do with your own content and football. But when you meet certain players or fitness professionals or anyone, when they reach a certain level, what am I trying to say without pissing people off? They don't they kind of what am I trying to say? They wouldn't be as open to learning from other people. They kind of would feel that they're the expert. Why are you so open to learning in all the different elements that you have in your life, whether it's football, what you're doing for your business and online? Is there a particular reason why you're so open to it? Was that always your mentality? Why, that's really what I'm looking for, is that curiosity piece. Where does that come from?
I always know there's more to learn, and I'm always listening to coaches and seeing what they're doing online, and I'm like, they know more than me, and I just want to keep improving in every year. I don't know what it is, probably so I can help my own athletes, and then I'll help my own performance. But you never like when I'm 50, I'd say I'll still be trying to learn from coaches. It's just something that I think there's always new information coming out all the time, and if you're not learning from it, you're falling behind realistically. And in this industry too, like there's an abundance of coaches really. Maybe not as many online in the GAA space, but if you weren't learning and you weren't constantly progressing and improving, then you're gonna end up falling behind, and there's gonna be someone's gonna come along and who is gonna be doing that and is gonna probably take you over. So that drive to just be one of the best coaches in my own field is something that I enjoy trying to strive for.
What would you see as the USP for your own coaching services compared to, as you said, there's plenty of other coaches. You see them on Instagram. I follow different people. What's your unique selling point, Dara? You have to sell yourself here to the audience.
I suppose when I was first starting out, the unique selling point was probably the fact that I was one of the only inter-county footballers who was doing it. But I enjoy going down the route of speed and body composition and just overall athletic qualities. Is something that I feel I can really help people with, and something I have been helping people with a lot, and that's probably why I've been doing the mentorship with Alan Murdoch, because he's probably the best in the business, to be honest, when it comes to helping athletes. And so probably as I progress, it's trying to learn how to coach athletes online to get faster, and there's just so much goes into it, and movement, and David Gray would be someone I'd learn from a lot as well in terms of the movement side of things. There's when it comes to biomechanics and sprinting and change of direction, like there's so much to learn and so much knowledge out there, and actually being able to apply that in an online setting to help people isn't easy. So that's probably what my unique selling point is moving forward is going to be speed, and then I hope to probably progress that to speed and rehabilitation maybe in an in-person setting
Okay.
down the line.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you ever look at the guys' Movement 101 in Dublin?
Yeah, I would have heard
Brian.
their stuff years ago.
Yeah, they're I'm actually going to a workshop with them next Saturday, the 4th, or the following Saturday. I loved in their stuff. I would have done an in-person assessment with Brian 2019, and before I'd done any of this, just for my own football, and kind of have kept up with them, and thankfully kind of would see Brian as a bit of a mentor. I've met him for coffee a few times, but you can, they're like the benefits of having a mentor and just somebody to kind of learn from it and take ideas from it is massive. When you're inter-county football career is over, let's say, what age are you now, Dara? 24 or 25?
24.
And 10 years when you're 34, maybe you're still going, I don't know. What would you like to have achieved in 10 years' time?
Yeah, it's a tough question. I always had a dream as a child of winning an Ulster title. That is something that I would like to do with my team. In terms of club football, I would love to win a senior championship with my club as well. That's probably my biggest goal, to be honest, at the minute. But I just want to have, like, I want to have peace of mind that I actually did everything I possibly could to get there. Whether I get there or not is kind of irrelevant. It's not really in my control when you break it down. So knowing that I did what I could with what I had, I suppose, to be the best footballer. And then, you know, things that aren't in your control are always going to come, and they're always going to get in the way. And that's kind of what happened to me in the last year with injury. But I know deep down that I've been doing everything I can always to achieve those long-term goals. So I can be happy, I suppose, in 10 years time if I continue in that trajectory.
Brilliant. I'm going to be cheeky here, and in terms of when you're talking about winning titles, and I'm not going to, I've asked this question before and I've kind of nearly put the words in the mouth of the guest, but what's your interpretation for a Fermanagh footballer of the Talton Cup?
Yeah, so I've thought about it actually a bit more in the last few weeks, and I feel that if you're being completely realistic with smaller counties in Ireland, the pick is simply so much different to other counties that it's just complete madness to ever think that we're going to be able to compete with the top 5-6 teams in Ireland on a consistent basis. Yes, teams will come along once and every so often with the smaller counties, and they'll achieve maybe a Division 2 like we have this year. They'll achieve a Division 1 for a couple of years. But you're fighting an uphill battle nearly all the time to win things like an Ulster title for us, or win titles like a Division 1 or an All-Ireland. So having this now to actually work towards is good. It is. In the last 2 years, it's been something that has given us a bit of drive and a bit of focus after the league. Something that's realistically, you know, you're gonna be able to win. And we've seen that in the last 2 years, like when we haven't been at it, you know, you've slipped up in some games. We haven't even got close to winning the Talton Cup yet. So I do feel that it's making the gap wider from the top to the bottom, but what's the alternative? I'm not sure. I think it's necessary, to be honest. I just do feel that gap's gonna widen as well as a result.
I think my perception of it as well has changed with seeing Westmeath, with seeing Meath winning, and seeing them, like, and maybe they weren't as passionate about it at the start, but seeing them delighted to lift silverware in Croke Park. And I think that's the way, I'm not a player, so I can't put words in your mouth, but that's the way I would see it. I think that's the way people are going to view it. I don't know if it's going to continue. There's plenty of real changes and decisions being made, I think, that don't have the players' interests at heart, like the split season. But that is another podcast in itself, and we won't go down that avenue. I just wanted to ask you about that. I am going to move on to the sideline seven, and as I ask you, Dara, I realise I never sent it to you. So it's the same seven questions at the end of every episode. You can take it as fire round or thought provoking, whatever you wish. So I'm really sorry I didn't send it to you, but I'm going to fire off here.
With freeze here.
Question one, what is your favourite quote?
It's actually that John Wooden quote. I kind of phrased a bit of it there. I'm actually going to look it up just so I get it right.
No, yeah, I do. I'm a big John Wooden fan. Do you have any of his books out of interest?
I do. I have I can't remember the name of it. It's like a blue one with the yellow.
I know the one you're talking about. Yeah, it's on my list.
The quote is from John Wooden. It's, "Success is peace of mind attained only through self-satisfaction and knowing you've made the effort to do the best of what you're capable." So, yeah, I don't know. I resonated with that quote probably a couple of years ago, and it's something I kind of try and live by now. And that was probably what I was kind of referring to earlier as well.
Okay, that's brilliant. I've actually written that down. Would you be a bit of a basketball fan? Would you watch the likes of Last Dance and stuff?
I would have watched the Last Dance. It was class. Right. But I wouldn't be big into the NBA. Like, okay. I'd be lying if I say it was.
Yeah. How did you find watching the Last Dance? Did it kind of open your mind to the mentality of Michael Jordan? Or did you kind of go like, this guy is a freak? And in a good way, like that could have sounded really bad.
It definitely opened my eyes, like just the way he drove other people and the methods that he had to use to make other people better was something that I probably didn't realize was necessary. But you know, who could doubt Michael Jordan, like, with the success that he had, like, so I find it mad, to be honest, like, just even the relationships that he had with certain players, positive and negative, to get the best from them was unreal.
Yeah, that was brilliant. A question two, what's the best sporting event you've been to? And you can pick one as a fan and one that you're involved in as a player.
Ooh, another interesting question. I'm freeze here now. Yeah, I'm not. I can't think. Probably in terms of probably the All Ireland finals, just that I've been to. I just think they're an absolutely unbelievable occasion, and being there with a full packed house of 80 plus thousand people. I think I've been to a couple of the All Irelands over the last few years, but just that occasion in general is just unbelievable. It's something that I'd like to experience as much as I can, and experiencing it as a player would be unbelievable, but that's probably not going to be possible.
Is there anything in particular on your bucket list that you'd love to see? Super Bowl, Wimbledon, anything like that?
Super Bowl is probably one, yeah. I'd also like to get... I was planning going to Paris there this weekend if Ireland had a won last week.
Oh, no.
So I'm kind of gutted about that. I was going to try and... We had a flight booked. We got it for like 20 quid each, like a month ago. So that was put off the cards. That would have been a pretty cool thing to go and see. And then I'd like to probably get to some big soccer games as well. Some of them have been really cool to go to, but like a Champions League final or something with Liverpool in it would be unbelievable.
Okay, very good. Question three, Dara, what's been the biggest setback or challenge so far in your career, and how did you react to it?
The biggest setback I've probably had in my career is probably this year. Picked up, obviously, a groin injury back in November, and I'm still dealing with it. For someone who never picked up injuries before, soft tissue injuries, I would have picked up, you know, your usual contact maybe injury or maybe a sprained ankle. But in terms of missing games, I never would have missed any games ever. And then this year, it hit me and I wasn't able to train at all. I was playing only games through extreme pain. So my reaction at that stage was to just do whatever I could possible, what was in my control, and try and not fight it, try and not get too stressed about it. And then obviously by taking it as an opportunity, as I mentioned before, to go traveling was the thing that I did when I realized that it was going to be a pretty long-term thing. So yeah, just trying to control what I could.
Very good. Remind me, I have a clip I want to send you because I'm going to misquote it here about kind of opportunities and stuff. That's really good. I think you'd enjoy. I'll send it to you after this. But on the flip side then, Dara, what's been your biggest achievement on or off the pitch so far?
Yeah, so my biggest achievement on the pitch was probably with my club just winning. Like when I first came into Benelac, when I was 18, we were still a junior club and we won the junior championship that year. My first year, we made an Ulster final. We went on and we won the intermediate back to back then the following year, which was a huge achievement for the club. And then we went straight up to senior. So then we actually brought, you know, Derek Onley, who had won four or five titles in a row, to a replay in that third year. So we were inches from a senior championship final after coming from junior 2 years before. So that was a huge achievement, to be honest.
Brilliant. Question five, looking back, what advice would you give your 18-year-old self to set the scene? You're probably in first year of university.
Well, yeah. Leaving secondary school to join college. Probably as I touched on before, to be honest with yourself and to follow a path that is aligned with both something that you're good at and something that you have a bit of passion about, and just go absolutely all in on that avenue. I don't regret going to uni. I definitely don't regret doing that because it was an unbelievable experience. But if I was to roll back to 18 and I was just leaving school, that'd be the advice that I'd probably give to myself.
Would you have done something different in college? And what would it be?
I would have probably done realistically something like sports science, to be honest. Yeah, there's no real like strength and conditioning bachelor's course, you know, at Queen's or Belfast or in Johnstown, and I was always going to go to Belfast.
Okay.
So that's probably what I probably would have done that.
Okay. Question six. Dara, you can cheat on this one. You can open up the table, but who would be your dream dinner guest and why?
That's a broad one. To be honest, my dream dinner guest is someone we had already spoke about. It's probably Michael Jordan. Probably Michael Jordan now. I think that'd be unbelievable. Just to pick his brains a bit more after that documentary, it kind of just left me wondering a bit, I suppose, as to what he really was like outside of sport as well. I feel like he's a very, very interesting character and someone you could learn a lot from. Just his leadership qualities were unbelievable.
Brilliant. If this is not a question, we're going to add it in. I do like asking this one. If I could give you the key to any team or coach or setup in the world, to go and be in a fly in the wall for a week, who would it be? Who would you like to just go and watch?
The first team that popped up in my head there was just Man City. Like, I don't know why, even though I'm a Liverpool fan. Probably Liverpool or Man City, to be honest. I'm kind of fascinated as to what they've done over the last few years, especially City. The way they play, like, and the with Pep in charge, I think that'd be an unbelievable thing to see on a daily basis, both inside the change room and outside the change room, with the different characters that are involved in that team as well.
Okay, I've left the hardest question for last. This might take you a while, but I can edit it out. Question seven, if your life was a book, what chapter would this be called?
Wing
Love it. Wing it. Very good.
it.
Dara, if there's anyone listening that wants to keep up with your story or follow you along or just get in touch and ask for some advice or get some online coaching, where is the best place to do so?
Yeah, so Instagram's the best place to probably contact me. Just McGurn Fitness. So yeah, that's usually where most people will get in touch, and you can fill out a form or whatever if it's online coaching you're interested. And then I have a website hopefully coming in the next couple of weeks, which I'll be able to, you know, offer a few things on as well.
Brilliant. I'll be sure to link all of that in the description box below. Dara, thanks a million for your time. I really appreciate it. Best of luck with football, travels, and everything in between. And thanks again.
Perfect. Thank you for having me on. It was a brilliant chat.
A big thank you to Dara for joining me on today's episode. I'll be sure to leave all of his social media links in the episode show notes. If you'd like to keep up with his football journey or follow some of his social media content, you can also inquire about personal training or online coaching through his pages. If you are enjoying the podcast, please do leave a rating and a review over on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, as it does help the show grow. As always, thank you for listening, and I'll catch you in the next one.